Good morning. I am a relatively new Unitarian Universalist. I came here 2 years ago, and I was impressed on a morning like this in the summer when Keith Brown, who was, our president-elect at the time, gave a wonderful summer sermon describing the thoughts and business dealings and feelings and concerns of those people in this church 200 years ago when it was dedicated. And I was so impressed by the scholarship and the wit that he demonstrated and the reception of the congregation of this that I thought I should become a Unitarian. So thank you, Keith. And I hope this morning, this is my first attempt to pay back some of the fellowship and friendship that I've developed in this church. As a new Unitarian, I carefully went through the seven UU principles, and the one that struck me most was principle number four, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And at first, I thought about this fourth principle, the search for truth and meaning, as a slow, scholarly process of discovery. Ancient, white-bearded theologians poring over crumbling manuscripts in dusty libraries, searching for the truth. Or modern pundits writing op-eds in the New York Times, telling me what to think. But later I realized that it was I that had to search for the truth. In real time, right now, minute by minute, every second, all day and every day, search for truth and meaning. And I'm not afraid of this challenge because, as I hope we'll see, I don't have a choice, and besides, it's fun. To show how important this business of choice is, I'm going to this morning tell a true story about smoke jumpers, mix in a bit of theology from the 16th century, add a bit more from the 20th century, and season all this with a dash of physics. Coming from this witch's brew of ideas is a simple message that I've worked out over the years. It works for me, and I hope by sharing it with you that it may be helpful too. So let's get started. We live our lives at a bright line moving from the past to the future. We live at this incandescent moment, the moment of now, where we have to make sense of the situation we find ourselves in and choose what to do next. We make sense of things over and over again throughout that long series of instants that makes up our lives. In one sense, our lives are this constant act of making sense and making a choice of what to do next. So here's a story about making sense. Smoke jumpers. At 4:10 p.m. on August the 5th in 1949 in Missoula, Montana, a hastily assembled team of 15 smoke jumpers that had never worked together before parachuted onto the south slope of Man Gulch off the Missouri River to fight a small, what they called a 10 o'clock fire, meaning that their sense was that they were facing a fire that they would put out by 10 o'clock the next morning. They ate their supper on the south slope of the gulch, while their taciturn leader, a man called Wag Dodge, scoped out the fire that was half a mile away to their west and moving towards them down this south slope of the gulch. Following Dodge, they picked up their tools, 80 pounds per man of axes, shovels, adzes, and rakes, and they crossed to the north slope of the gulch at 5 o'clock, intending to get behind the fire and drive it into a rocky area where it could be extinguished. So hold the thought of these action-oriented, sense-making firefighters for a moment, and let's turn back to the 16th century, where a man who started a different kind of fire, a theological fire, theology being a kind of sense-making, and who was a Unitarian before there were Unitarians. And just what were there before there were Unitarians? Well, there were non-Trinitarians, heretics who questioned belief in the Trinity before moving on to full-fledged Unitarianism. One of these was Fausto Paolo Cesini, or by his Latin name known as Cesinus. Born in Siena, Italy in 1539, he later moved to Switzerland on the run from the Inquisition for his challenges to Catholic dogma, and got on the wrong side of the Swiss Calvinists and moved to Poland, where he died in 1604. His heresy, known as Socinianism, expressed optimism about the capacities of human nature, emphasis on a moral life rather than beliefs, the claim that human beings have free will, enabling them to live such a life, and a disbelief in post-mortem punishments such as hell. All of this should sound familiar, because theologically, Socinus is a founding father of Unitarianism, because his ideas influenced nascent Unitarian movements in England and later in the US. But what interests us this morning about Socinus is his view of God's knowledge. He agreed that God was omnipresent, was everywhere, and omnipotent, was all-powerful. But heretically, he said God could not be omniscient. God could not know everything. God could not know everything because human beings had free will, and their free will makes it impossible to know what a human being will do next. God cannot know how each of us will choose what to do next, and therefore, in Socinus' mind, God cannot know how the future will unfold. Sounds reasonable to me. So we're back to the importance of choosing well in this incandescent moment of now, because choosing well is really important. By doing so, we create the future. If you believe in God, then God is waiting to see what you'll do next. God knows what the Calvinists will do next, because their future is predestined. But us UUs, we get to choose for ourselves, which is much better, in my opinion. So, back to the smoke jumpers. What did Wag Dodge's team of firefighters choose to do next? They're now moving along the north side of the gulch, along the side of the fire raging on the south side. So firefighters here, fire over here. And they plan to get behind it and steer it to rocky ground. Dodge was in the lead with his team strung out behind him. And he came around the edge of a ridge on the north side of the gulch. And he saw that the fire had jumped across the gulch to the side where he and his team were. The flames were 30 feet high and moving towards him at 60 feet a minute. The fire was a minute away. His team, behind him, behind the corner that he turned, could not see the fire. Only he could see it. He turned and ran back towards them and yelled, "Drop your tools! Follow me!" And he headed up the ridge, angling away and up from the fire towards the rocks at the top of the ridge where his team would be safe. The top was 800 feet above where they were, and the ridge slope was 45 degrees. Remember, only Dodge had seen the fire on the north side of the ridge. Drop your tools. Now, a firefighter without his tools is just a guy in the woods with a forest fire coming at him like a train. Not knowing that the fire had jumped to their side of the gulch, they couldn't understand why Dodge was saying and doing what he did. Without their tools, they no longer knew who they were. They couldn't make sense of what was happening to them. So in this literally incandescent moment of now, panting up the slope behind Dodge, they had to choose what to do next. So now let's turn back to the world of ideas and the world of physics. Surprisingly, the behavior of the dead matter world, of the dead world of matter and energy, of things, isn't a clockwork mechanism that's ticking away through time. It's actually uncertain, unpredictable, like the human mind. 400 years after Socinus, physicists formulated the laws of quantum mechanics, in which the smallest particles of matter and photons of energy move at random, making it impossible to say exactly what will happen next to any individual particle. The very foundation of nature is a world of effects without causes, a world where prediction is impossible. This is surprising, but true. This randomness of nature can be confirmed by experiment, even in a high school physics class. So stay with me. We're now at the pinnacle of obscurity for this morning. It gets easier going forward. Let's recap. 1604, Socinus. Because of our free will, precise knowledge of the choices we will make, and thus our future, is unknowable. 1925, physics. Because of quantum mechanics, the most tested theory in the history of science, the precise future of the material world is unknowable. So the mind is unpredictable, and the material world is unpredictable. Searching for truth and meaning is going to be hard with all this uncertainty around. Okay, let's go back to Wag Dodge and his smoke-jumping forest firefighters. They're running through long grass up the north side of the gulch, and the fire is coming up the hill behind them faster than they can run up this 45-degree slope. They can see it coming, they've dropped their tools, and they don't know why or when there's a fire to fight. Dodge suddenly pulls his cigarette lighter out of his pocket, bends down, and sets fire to the grass in front of him. He shouts, "Up here!" to his team. Dodge was burning an escape fire, the first one he'd ever set, to create a pre-burnt space up the slope where his men could shelter, and the main fire would burn around them. The Indians of Montana knew about escape fires, but the Forest Service, who trained not on the grasslands but in forests on the East Coast, did not know about escape fires at that time. The taciturn Dodge has heard about the Indians, but he didn't tell his team what he knew. So they, confused and with little confidence in their leader, these young men ran past Dodge, around the edge of the escape fire, and continued up the ridge towards the rocks. The time was now 5:54. They'd been on the ground less than 2 hours to put out this presumed 10 o'clock fire, and now they found themselves trying to make sense of a situation that had changed completely within the last few minutes, and they were searching for the truth of what was happening around them and what it meant for them. Back to the world of the mind. 1930s Germany, Nazi Germany, Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of a minority of churchmen who refused to pledge loyalty to Hitler. His brother-in-law was an intelligence official in the Nazi government, and he knew and told Bonhoeffer about the hate-driven violence of the Nazis. Bonhoeffer became an active member of the German resistance, was arrested by the Gestapo in 1942, imprisoned, interrogated, sent to a concentration camp, and executed, purely out of spite, on the personal order of Hitler, 2 weeks before the camp was liberated by US troops and 3 weeks before Hitler committed suicide. When Bonhoeffer speaks, I listen. He wrote, "The will of God is not a system of rules established from the outset. It is something new and different in each different situation in life. And for this reason, a man must forever re-examine what the will of God may be. The will of God may lie deeply concealed between a great number of possibilities." To put this into my own words, the voice in my head tells me what I should do next, that tells me what I should do next, must be re-examined every day, every hour, every minute, every second, because the real facts and the true meaning of the situation I find myself in may lie deeply concealed between a great number of possibilities. Back to the smoke jumpers. The Man Gulch fire swept around the charred ground left by Wag Dodge's escape fire and continued up the slope. It exploded in what's called a blow-up and burnt 3,000 acres that afternoon. It took 450 men 5 days to extinguish this 10 o'clock fire. Wag Dodge was saved by his escape fire, and two firefighters reached the rocks at the top of the slope, and they survived. The other 13 died on the north slope of Mount Gulch that afternoon. They parachuted 106 minutes before into a situation they thought they understood. The world changed around them, with the fire jumping across the gulf and trapping them on the slope. In real time, in the seconds between Dodge shouting, "Drop your tools," and then setting his escape fire, they failed to make sense of things. So what's the lesson here? The lesson is that what is true can change into something new and different at any moment, and the facts must be re-examined over and over again to determine their meaning, which is hidden beneath a great number of possibilities. The first tragedy of Man Gulch is that the taciturn Dodge did not tell his team about the facts and meaning of the escape fire. And the second is that they didn't ask what he was doing. Their lives were lost because they didn't search for truth and meaning, and they couldn't make sense of a situation where their leader was setting a fire while they were running from a fire. So this was a big mistake, and it cost them their lives. But learning facts and understanding meaning is critical in the seemingly small things in daily life, too. I've come to realize that paying close attention to these small facts and trying to understand their meaning and doing this over and over again is the only way I can make sense of things and at least try to do the right thing. If I can learn to do this right, I think I will, sometimes, be able to behave in the way that President Kennedy, that JFK was talking about when he said, "Good manners is grace under pressure." Grace being a certain serenity in the face of the unexpected, which I would like to demonstrate, but usually fall far short of. JFK also said in another context, the space program, "We choose to do this and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard." Searching for truth and meaning in real time is hard. I make no apology for how hard it is, particularly when facts and meaning are concealed beneath a great number of possibilities. And I fail in this search again and again. It's easy to avoid the search altogether. Just rely on authority. Fall back on what's been said and done before. Fall back on habits, on doctrine, dogma, tribalism, and all the other isms. But remember, Steve Jobs said, "Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition." The responsibility to search for truth and meaning and to act accordingly is not a burden for me, it's a gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving because second by second, I'm giving another situation, another chance to get things right, to learn the truth and understand the meaning of what's going on around me. The French heroine Joan of Arc was declared a heretic by the English for maintaining her right to think for herself, or in Bonhoeffer's words, to forever re-examine what the will of God may be. When captured, she was threatened by the English inquisitors, who told her that her heretical thinking might lead to her death. She said, "I'm not afraid. I was born to do this." She was born to think for herself and to act for her conclusions. We are all born to do this, to search for truth and meaning. We and the world we live in are constructed in such a way that we have to make sense of things over and over again, so we can live with as much grace as we can muster under the daily pressures of our lives. So, although this work is never finished, I'm going to go out of here into this beautiful summer day and relish the fact that I have the opportunity and the obligation, second by second, to search as best I can for truth and meaning. It's hard, but every now and then perhaps I manage to demonstrate at least a little bit of grace under pressure. And if I don't, well, right away, I get another chance. And so do you. Thank you.